you're 6'7", is do you play basketball? And my reply often is, no, I was a horse jockey. And the use of the question is, was it a Clydesdale? Believe it or not, I did play basketball in high school. My freshman and sophomore year, my father was in the Navy and he was stationed in Guam. So I played in Guam, and believe it or not, I think I was the tallest person on the island. But I can remember my basketball coach. In Guam, they call the locals Chamorros. That's just kind of their local thing. But he was a Chamorro, but his name was Coach Titano. Coach Titano was about 5'1½", maybe. But he was the best basketball coach I ever had. One of the things I can remember, the very first month before the season ever started, we came in for conditioning. And for 1 month prior to the very first basketball game, we didn't even touch a basketball. We did nothing but run and run and more running. But I remember one of the drills we did often, if you play basketball or any type of organized sports, you know what suicides are. And yeah, I see the groaning, yeah. But Coach Titano used to make us run suicides till we were literally sick to our stomachs. And I can remember you did not want to be the last person to cross the line if Coach Titano was standing there. And one of the things he would tell us over and over again as you were just literally dying of thirst and thought you couldn't take it anymore, you thought you couldn't handle any more suicides, Coach Titano would always say, don't you ever quit, because as soon as you quit, you give up on this team. And he would say that to us over and over and over again, and I've never forgotten those words as long as I've lived. But brethren, let me tell you something. When I think about the cross of Calvary, and I think about what Jesus did on that cross for me and what Jesus did on that cross for you, that's exactly what he's saying to us. Don't you ever, ever quit. Don't you ever quit on the church, because as soon as you do, you give up on me and you give up on the folks in the church. It's always, almost always, there's a delay between when a person falls away from the Lord and when they quit coming to the services of the Lord's church. There seems to be that steady backwards moving motion because somebody begins to lose their faith begins to waver, and maybe they're attending out of habit, maybe they're attending out of fear because of a loved one or a spouse or whatever the case is, but others, gradually they grow weak, and then they fall away in times of testing, when things begin to get difficult or the trials of the world are beating down on them or Satan is doing what Satan does best, and that's tempting us and putting doubt in our minds. That's Satan's best tool in his toolbox, is that of doubt. And Satan wants you to doubt your walk in this Christian world. Satan wants you to quit on Christ. Satan is the person who says, give up. You don't have to do this anymore. Don't suffer. Don't go through all this trouble. Don't go through all these trials and these hardships. Don't put forth the effort. It's not worth it. Just quit. Just stop now. We could call these faith tests. So the question is, why do people fall away from the church? Why do people give up on the church? You know, I can think about Coach Titano as you'd be on what you thought was your last suicide and two or three people would be straggling. He'd say, okay, 10 more. And you're thinking, Coach, we've already run 150 of them. 10 more. Because you have these two stragglers who are slowing everybody else down, those who want to quit on everybody else is going to suffer because of it. And we'd get so mad at those guys. But you know what would happen? We would begin to encourage them and push them a little bit harder. They were pushing us in return to don't quit on the team. But there comes a faith test in our lives sometimes when we begin to test, or our faith begins to be tested by the devil, and he's telling us to just quit and give up. It's not worth the effort. When you think about the church is simply a word that refers to all those who have been called out by the gospel of Jesus Christ, 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 14. Brethren, we're part of the greatest institution ever created for man, that being the church of the Lord and our Savior. Christ is the head of that. We're the part of the body, and He is the Savior, Ephesians 5 and verse 23. That being the greatest institution that we can be a part of, and we think about what Christ had to go through for us to be a part of that institution, that foundation of which Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone, He's laid the groundwork for us. And He established that church in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18 when He said, nothing is going to prevail against this church. Not even the gates of hell are going to knock this church to the ground. But here's what happens, brethren, because we're imperfect people and because we grow weak and our faith is tested, we give up and we quit fighting. And I know sometimes that's easier to do, isn't it? Why bother? Why am I going through all of this trouble anyway? You know, I mentioned to you before, I remember my mother used to say to us all the time, me and my brother growing up, when we'd be complaining about something or whether it was school or whatever the case was, she would say, short-term sacrifice for a long-term goal. Brethren, this life is short. James 4:14 tells us that. And the long-term goal is eternity in heaven with God. That's where we want to be. So this morning, I want to talk to you for a few moments and give you five reasons why I'm not going to give up on the church. And I hope those reasons will encourage you to think along the same lines. I'm not saying that I understand what you're going through because I don't. I'm not pretending to put myself in your shoes because I won't. Because everybody struggles and battles temptations and Satan completely different than anybody else. I'm not telling you this morning that your struggles and your trials and your test of faith aren't real, because they are. But what I'm telling you and what I want you to understand is there are reasons why, even as we go through those things, that you don't give up on Christ and His cross. Because in the shadow we stand, and we stand firmly together. Though we go through struggles, we stand with God in His church based upon what Jesus did at the cross of Calvary for us. So brethren, don't give up. One of the reasons why I'm not going to give up on the church is the church is a term that refers to people, and brethren, I'm not going to give up on you. I'm not going to let you quit. You might not like me necessarily, but I'm not going to let you give up. When we were running up and down those courts doing suicides, and sometimes I too would fall behind, and my brothers playing basketball with me were pushing me and standing behind me and screaming at me saying, "You better not quit, because we don't want to do any more of these." I didn't like them at the time, but when we got done, I appreciated them because they didn't let me give up on myself. It's easy to let go of the church when you think about the church as an institution. Sometimes people think of the church as an institution or a church of oppression, or when you think about it, we have to understand, brethren, that the church is just made up of people. This building is not the church. It's where the church gathers. And brethren, we are part of the greatest institution. We are members of the body of Christ. We are people that make up that church. Remember, Christ is the head of the church and He is the Savior of the body. And people who are not perfect, brethren, we bear the divine image of who God is. God created us in Genesis chapter 3 in His image. And because we are like Him, because we are who we are because of Him, and because people institute what that institution is, brethren, we don't give up on each other because we have each other. Since God Himself will never give up on people, brethren, the Scriptures call that I won't give up on them either. The Bible says in Hebrews 13 and verse 5 that I will never leave you nor forsake you. So if God won't leave me and I'm part of the church for which His Son purchased with His own blood, I'm not going to give up on that church. And when I think about 1 John 3 and verse 1 that says, "What manner of love that God hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God." Brethren, we are His children, His creation, part of His institution that His Son died for. And because you're a part of it, I'm not going to quit. Because, brethren, I don't want you quitting on me. I need you to help me bear my load sometimes when I struggle. And I need to be there and help you bear your burdens when you struggle. Galatians 6 tells me that, and when I do that, I'm keeping the commandments of God because I love you and you love me. So I'm not going to give up on you because the church is who we are as a people of God. But I'm also a part of a church and part of why it's often broken, and I don't want you to give up on me. When you think about it, brethren, when we're baptized in the body of Christ, we're a part of the family. And because we're part of that blood-bought institution and because we're part of that family, guess what? It's part of the deal. And guess what? I'm part of the deal. So that means you get me in all my quirkiness and my crazy socks and everything else. I'm part of the deal. You know, we don't get to choose our family, do we? Even though sometimes we might not always like them, we don't get to choose our family the same way with the blood-bought institution of Jesus. Maybe we don't always get along, maybe we don't always see eye to eye, but we're still part of that great institution of Jesus Christ. You see, and what I also understand is that I'm not perfect and that I make mistakes. And brethren, I'm thankful for the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm thankful that that blood cleansed me and washed me clean of all my past transgressions and all my past mistakes that I put behind me. And because I'm part of that perfect institution, and because I love the church, and because I'm part of it, I know that you're not going to give up on me. You see, when I look into the mirror, I realize that I'm a human who makes mistakes, and there are a lot of other people that look in that mirror every Sunday morning and sees that they're also not perfect. But we're perfect, we're part of that perfect institution. I can think about the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and what he writes in verses 9 and 10. And Paul was that great inspiration for all of us to understand that Paul himself said, I am the chief among sinners. I am it, brethren. But it's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 9 and 10 that I appreciate. He says, for I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle. Paul said, I'm the least of the lowliest of all of. Matter of fact, don't even call me an apostle. But this is what he said, because I persecuted the church of God. He said, brethren, remember what I did to the church? I was the one going around throwing people in jail because they were a part of that institution. But he said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. Let's say that again, brethren. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And I'm part of the church of Christ because I am what I am. And Paul says, in his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God was with me. Now here we look back to the history of Paul and all the things that he did in his life to persecute the body of Christ. And when he becomes an apostle unto the Gentiles to preach to them, even said, I'm the chief among all these sinners. I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle, but brethren, I'm not perfect, Paul says, but I'm part of the church. By the grace of God, I am what I am. You see, brethren, so I know that I'm part of the church and that you're not going to give up on me because I'm not going to give up on you. I think by God's grace, brethren, I might have some potential, just like you have potential too. But sometimes we don't always see our potential, do we? Think back to that one person or that one teacher, that person in your life that showed you that you had potential. I can remember me telling my grandfather when I was 13 years old that I'll never be a gospel preacher. He said, yeah, we'll see about that. Maybe he saw something that I didn't. But you see, God sees potential in us as His children, brethren. That's why we don't give up on the church. God knows that we're worth something. You think about Peter, the worst, when you think about those that gave up on God for a moment in that trial when he was being persecuted because of who he was associated with. I don't know who that man is. How many times did Peter's faith fumble and he falter, but Jesus always saw potential in who he was, right? Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. Peter, are you really sure? Because we've got to make sure at this point, because I'm going to tell you from this point on to go preach to my sheep. Jesus saw potential in him, didn't he? You see, I would be hypocritical to give up on you when I hope that you won't give up on me. But another reason that I'm not going to give up on the church is because I'm unwilling to give up on the church's mission of spreading the good news of Jesus Christ. Brethren, without us, there is no hope for those to hear the gospel. Even Paul himself says in Romans chapter 8, how beautiful are the feet of those that preach the gospel of good peace and glad tidings. It's our responsibility to go preach the gospel to the world, because without us, there is no hope. There's that fictional story told of Jesus after he ascends to heaven, and Gabriel the archangel comes up to him and said, well, that was pretty tough, Christ. You really took a beating down there. But what's going to happen now? Who's going to know what you did? He said, I've got 12 apostles. They're going to go out and preach the gospel. I gave them the Great Commission. Gabriel says, well, what happens if that doesn't work? Jesus said, there is no plan B. Because we take the gospel to the masses, brethren, we have the Great Commission to spread the gospel to the world. The mission of the Lord's church is beautiful. It's to spread His good news. And as we spread that good news, we fulfill our role of the Great Commission. And we're not giving up on the church because we're fulfilling that role of the Great Commission. Because we're telling people about what Jesus did. Brethren, that's the mission, and I still believe in it. I believe in it because it works. You want to know why it works? Because you're sitting here today because of it. Somebody shared the gospel with you, didn't they? Some parent taught you correctly, didn't they? Some parent told you how great Jesus' love was, right? Some parent told you to keep your eyes on the cross of Calvary and don't ever quit on the church. That's why you're here today, because you love the Lord and you understand its great mission. But I know within the mission of the church, it's not always an easy thing to do either, is it? Sometimes we struggle within that mission because it's not always easy to share the gospel to people who don't want to hear it. But there were folks who didn't want to listen to Jesus and the apostles either, but they didn't give up. Even Jesus said he as a prophet wasn't welcome in his own hometown, but that didn't mean he quit. And when you think about Paul going out and the other apostles being persecuted because of what they were preaching, they didn't quit on the church. It's beautiful, and I'm not giving up on it because the church is tasked with carrying it out. You think about the great responsibility, brethren, but more importantly, think about the great privilege it is to be able to share the good news. Why in the world would I give up on that? But another reason I won't give up on the church is because Jesus promised that even the gates of hell would not defeat the church, and brethren, and I'm not willing to give up on my Lord and Savior. Jesus promised that he was going to build his church and that it would be on a rock so sturdy that nothing was going to tear it down, Matthew chapter 16. Nothing was going to tear it down. To give up on the church as if it's broken beyond repair and failure, that if it's never going to last, would be to completely discount the promises that Jesus and God made to us as his children. Instead, I walk forward having faith in who Christ is, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, right? That we walk by faith and not by sight. That we don't allow the world to defeat us because of who we are and the title that we bear. I think about Matthew 8 and verse 26. Where are you fearful, O ye little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds of the sea, and there was a great calm. Remember when Peter was being tested concerning his faith, and Jesus said, walk out to me. But Lord, I don't know if I can do that. You think about Romans 8, verses 31 through 39. One of my favorite verses is verse 31 in Romans chapter 8, where Paul says, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? But then he goes on to say, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. You know what Paul's saying? There's nobody that can charge you but God himself. God will justify you. God will tell you that you're pronounced and not guilty. So you don't have to worry about what the world says about the church, brethren, because God's the one who's the final say in the day of judgment. But he says, who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us. Nobody's going to be up there on the day of judgment but Jesus Christ himself, who will judge all of mankind. So I don't have to worry about what the world says about me as a member of the body of Christ, right? And because the church still stands as that great institution, and though the devil is repeatedly trying to knock that church down, brethren, God said it's not going to happen. He says, who shall separate us from the love of God, or love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake you are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter, he said. That's what the world thinks of us, brethren. Simply sheep that are to the slaughter that they can kill and not think anything about because they're just dumb animals. But Paul says in verse 35, not tribulation, not distress, not persecution, not famine, not nakedness, not even death can separate us from the love of God, brethren. Nothing can separate us. The only person that can separate us from the Lord's church is us. That's when we turn our back on who God is, brethren. But we can't give up on that. Because of who God is and that he promised us, that church would always be standing. And guess what, brethren? Even though we're not perfect people and we live in an imperfect world and sometimes we mess things up, the church still stands 2,000 years later, doesn't it? It's right where God said it would be. Why would I want to give up on that? I know you don't. I certainly don't want to give up on it. But listen to verse 37. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him, Jesus Christ, that loved us. I win. Brethren, I win. I get to tell the world because I conquered sin, because I believed in Jesus Christ and He died on the cross of Calvary for me. I win. And Revelation 2:10 says, even if it's to the point of death, I'm not going to turn my back on my Savior. because he told me to be faithful because of that institution that I'm not willing to give up on. You're not going to give up on it. I know you're not. Why would you want to give up on that? But listen to verse 38 and 39. He said, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, or any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Brethren, it doesn't matter what this world does to you or what they try to do to the church or what they say about you. You win. And I know you're not going to give up on that. But finally, I'm unwilling to give up on the church because I can make a difference. I can remember when I first started playing basketball my ninth grade year. I was about 6'5" then, about 150 pounds soaking wet. And when I ran up and down that court, I looked like a newborn giraffe. I did not have much grace in my soul. But my coach saw potential in me, and he said, "Fife, one of these days you'll make a difference on this team." And he would say, "Don't you ever quit and don't you ever give up." Because I'm part of the perfect institution, and though I'm not perfect, I know that I have something to contribute to the Lord's church. Though it might be insignificant, in my eyes, it's great in the Lord's. And that's all that matters. Because we serve the Lord, brethren, by and large, people within the church are more fulfilled in the service to God when they have a sense of belonging and they're pushed to be perfect and to be right. But sometimes it's through those challenges when we're pushed, and sometimes our elders are going to push us to be greater, because guess what, brethren? Because of the cross of Calvary, that bar is set high, as it should be, because I'm striving to reach it. Because that's where God set it. You want to know why? Because God believes in us as His children. Again, what greater love that God had bestowed upon us that He calls us His children. And because He set that bar extremely high, He knows that we can reach it. So He says you've got to put forth some work to do it. And I'm not willing to give up on that. People want to serve and they want to know that they're contributing to something that's significant. The present reality is that too many people are walking away from our churches, brethren. They're giving up. They're giving in. They're throwing in the towel. They're quitting. And my question often is, why? One of the things I used to do when I was just a green preacher, when somebody missed several services or they weren't coming, I would pay them a visit. And generally, I was doing more harm than good by doing that. Let me tell you why. Now you're saying, what? Let me tell you why. Because as soon as they see the preacher walking down that path, they begin to make up lies of why they haven't been at church. Well, I've had the cold for the last 3 months. Or I stub my toe and I can't walk. They begin to make up things because they can't give a good excuse as to why they haven't been at church. But I stopped doing that, and let me tell you what I do now, and this is why. I don't fault them, I don't get mad at them, I don't blame them, and I don't point the finger at them. Because I too was in their shoes at one point. You see, let me tell you, it's because I fell out of love with Jesus. And see, when those that fall away from the Lord, brethren, they stop loving Jesus. They stop loving who He is and what He did. And what we have to do with those, just as happened with me, was we have to fall in love with Jesus again. That's why I'm not going to give up on the church. Maybe you've seen this before, but I think it's a good representation of why we don't give up. Don't ever, ever give up. You keep fighting for the Lord because of what He did for you at Calvary. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now set down on the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus was looking down on the shame as the shame was looking up at Him. And Jesus didn't quit. And He didn't give up on us. Jesus, brethren, is the way to the church. Galatians 3, verse 26 and 27 says He's the way into the church. And Jesus is also to the way of joy and purpose. And brethren, guess what? If you've fallen away, Jesus is the way back to the church. If you've given up, if you're struggling, I want you to know that you're not alone. Nobody's going to point the finger at you. Nobody's going to talk about you behind your back. But what we will do is love you. And we don't want you to give up on us because we're not going to give up on you. We love you and we want you to be here. And maybe you're struggling this morning with whatever your faith test is today. And if your faith is truly being tested and you're truly struggling, you need to hang on for dear life. And don't give up on Jesus. Because, brethren, I guarantee you, He's not going to give up on you. And if you're here today and you want to be a part of that blood-bought institution, because you see what it means to all of us, you see how much we love the church and why we're here today, because we want to worship a perfect God as an imperfect people who helps us to be better, come be a part of that body. We want you here. We need you here. And the Lord simply tells you exactly what you got to do. He doesn't make it difficult. He says if you're willing to obey the gospel, if you're willing to hear it and believe it, Mark 16 and verse 16, if you're willing to confess your sins, Luke 13, 3, and put all of that behind you, if you're willing to confess who Jesus Christ is with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation, Romans 10, 9 and 10, and if you're willing and ready to put on Christ in baptism this morning, God is willing and ready to stand with you as Jesus, and as we're judged on that day of judgment, He's going to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." If you need that today, I encourage you to respond as together we all stand and sing as a family. Jesus, I love you forever.